So most of us, when we start 3D printing, we begin with PLA, right? It's kind of the go-to.
Absolutely. It's reliable, easy to print with. It's the default for a reason.
Yeah, the workhorse.
Yeah.
But if you're still thinking polylactic acid is just, one simple thing,
Yeah.
well, you're missing out.
Oh, definitely. That standard spool. That's just the starting point. Material science has really exploded here.
How so?
Well, engineers have taken that basic PLA and mixed in all sorts of additives, things that make it glow or incredibly light or even feel like metal. It's a whole family now.
Right, not just one material. Okay, so that's a big landscape. How are we going to tackle this today? What's the plan?
Well, the idea is to give you a shortcut. We'll focus on two really specialized, maybe slightly trickier PLAs.
Okay, which ones?
The glow-in-the-dark kind, and then the super light one, the foaming LWKLA.
Gotcha. And after digging into those,
Then we'll zoom out a bit and give you a kind of simple framework, how to pick the right PLA, for whatever you're making, whether it's for looks or for strength.
perfect. A deep dive into the tricky stuff, then a practical guide. Let's do it.
All right, first up, glow-in-the-dark PLA. I see this everywhere. Toys, Halloween stuff, decorations.
Yeah, it's very popular for anything you want to see after the lights go out. Looks simple, right? Fun effect.
Seems simple enough,
Yeah.
but I guess there's more to it.
There always is. The core idea is mixing standard PLA with phosphorescent pigments.
Pigments, like paint.
Sort of, yeah. But these are special. The modern ones use something called strontium aluminate.
Strontium aluminate. Okay, it sounds quite technical. Why that specific one?
Well, think of it like a tiny light battery. It soaks up energy, especially UV light. Sunlight works great, or a UV lamp.
And then it releases it slowly.
Exactly. As visible light over hours sometimes, and compared to the older stuff like zinc sulfide.
Which I remember from old toys, barely glowed.
Right. Strontium aluminate is much, much brighter, and it lasts way longer. It's a huge improvement. Makes it actually useful, not just a quick gimmick. Better glow, longer lasting. Makes sense. But you mentioned tricky earlier. Our sources flag a big warning here, something about hardware.
Ah, yes. The hidden catch. It's the hardness. That strontium aluminate powder that glows so well, it's really hard, like ceramic hard.
So when you're extruding it, it's not just soft plastic going through the nozzle.
Not at all. It's a composite. It's like you're pushing, well, fine sandpaper through your nozzle.
Oh, wow. Okay, I can see where this is going. Sandpaper versus a soft brass nozzle.
Exactly. Recipe for disaster. That brass nozzle will wear out incredibly fast. The hole gets bigger, uneven.
And suddenly your prints look terrible, accuracy goes out the window.
Precisely. Under extrusion, sloppy lines. All because the nozzle's diameter isn't what the slicer thinks it is anymore.
So the takeaway is pretty clear then. Before you even think about letting this stuff,
Hardened steel nozzle. Mandatory. Non-negotiable.
even for just like one small print.
Honestly, yes.
Yeah.
Even for occasional use, a hardened nozzle costs, what, 10, 15 bucks maybe? That's nothing compared to the headache of diagnosing a ruined brass nozzle.
Okay, strong warning. Hardened nozzle required. Now, what about print settings? If I want that really bright, intense glow, do I just print like normal PLA?
Mostly, yeah. The temperatures and speeds are similar, but you need to think about how much pigment is actually in the part.
Right, so printing something thin-walled or hollow probably won't glow very well.
Exactly right. It just doesn't have enough of that active strontium aluminate packed in there. It won't charge well, won't emit strongly for long.
So you need volume, not just surface area.
Precisely. So in your slicer, you'll want to bump up the number of walls or perimeters.
Okay, more solid outlines.
And crucially, use a higher infill density. More plastic inside means more glow pigment.
Got it. Thicker walls, more infill for maximum glow. And I guess this stuff costs a bit more too.
Generally, yeah. Expect to pay maybe 30 to 50% more than standard PLA because of those specialized payments.
Okay, let's shift gears completely from glowing stuff to defying gravity. You mentioned lightweight PLA or LWPLA.
Yes. This stuff is genuinely revolutionary, especially if you're building things where every single gram counts.
Like RC planes, drones.
Exactly. Or even really big cosplay props where you want the size, but not the shoulder ache.
How does it work? How do you make PLA lighter?
It's clever material engineering. It looks and feels like normal PLA on the spool, but it has a special chemical foaming agent mixed in.
Foaming agent, like yeast in bread dough.
That's actually a perfect analogy. When the filament gets hot enough in the nozzle, usually around 230 Celsius, give or take,
Okay.
that agent decomposes. It releases gas, could be CO2, creating millions of tiny microscopic bubbles inside the plastic just as it's extruded.
Whoa, so the volume expands.
Massively. It can expand up to 3 times its original volume. but you're extruding the same amount of plastic.
Which means the density plummets.
Our sources said up to 65% lighter than standard PLA. That's huge.
It really is. Game-changing for lightweight applications. But, and this is a big, but it's not a simple load-and-print material.
There's the catch again. Why not? Because you are actively controlling the foaming process, and therefore the final density and weight, with your print settings. It requires calibration. A lot of it.
So I'm not just telling the printer what shape to make, I'm telling it how dense to make the material itself.
Exactly. The key is temperature. Print it cooler, say down at 210 degrees C, you get very little foaming. The part will be heavier, maybe only 20% lighter than normal PLA.
Okay.
But crank the temperature up, maybe 250 degrees C, 260 degrees C here, you get maximum foaming, maximum expansion, and the lightest possible part. You control the density with the temperature dial.
That's amazing control. But wait. If it's expanding three times as it comes out the nozzle, won't that mess up the dimensions completely? Like massive over-extrusion.
Bingo. You've hit the biggest calibration hurdle. If you print with standard flow settings, it'll look, well, you described it perfectly earlier, cottage cheese.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. Puffy, inaccurate mess.
So you absolutely must reduce the flow rate or extrusion multiplier in your slicer radically.
How much do we talk?
Often down to 60%. 50%, maybe even 40% of the normal flow rate. It depends on the temperature and speed you settle on.
Wow. Okay, so dialing that in is critical for accuracy.
It's essential. Otherwise, your dimensions will be way off, surface finish will be terrible.
So for someone starting out, what's the basic calibration principle? Forget the detailed steps for a sec, just the core idea.
It's basically a two-step dance. First, you print tests at different temperatures to find out where it puffs up the most. That's your max expansion temp.
Okay, find the puffiest temperature.
Second, you stick with that temperature and print simple test parts, like a cube with no top or bottom, just walls. And you gradually lower the flow rate.
Until
the thickness of the wall it prints perfectly matches your nozzle diameter. That tells you you've got the flow rate correct for that temperature and speed.
Find max expansion temp, then tune flow for perfect wall thickness. Got it. Sounds involved, but controllable. And I assume the specialized stuff commands a premium price.
Oh, yeah. It's a high-tech material.
Yeah.
Expect it to be one of the more expensive PLA variants you can buy, often sold on smaller spools, too, like 750 grams.
Okay, so we've seen glow-in-the-dark, PLA needs hardware protection, and LWPLA needs deep slicer control. It really proves PLA isn't just one thing.
Absolutely. It's a whole diverse family. Which brings us to the next challenge. How do you choose? There are dozens of types now.
Right. We need that framework you mentioned. Picking the right filament can make or break a project, so how do we simplify this?
I think the easiest way is to group them by what you need the print to do. Is it mostly about looks? Does it need to be strong? Or do you want some kind of special texture or weight?
Okay, that makes sense. Let's start with category one, visuals, prototypes, decorations, toys, where aesthetics are king.
Your baseline, cheapest, easiest option is still standard PLA. Good for quick checks. Basic models.
But if you want something fancier.
And you look at things like silk PLA. That gives you that super glossy, almost metallic sheen. Looks amazing for vases, statues, anything artistic.
I've seen that stuff. It really catches the light. Any downsides?
It can be a bit more finicky to print. You often need to print slower, maybe tweak retraction settings to avoid stringing and get that perfect shine.
Okay, so silk for high gloss. What about the opposite? Matte PLA.
Matte PLA is fantastic. It gives you this elegant, non-reflective finish. And its biggest advantage, I think, is how well it hides layer lines.
Oh, interesting. So the print looks smoother right off the bed.
Yeah, much more professional looking sometimes. And it's a great base if you plan to paint the part later. The paint adheres really well.
Cool. All right, category two, functional parts. Things that need to actually do something, resist forces. Standard PLA can be a bit brittle here.
Exactly. Here, you're stepping up to PLA plus, or maybe tough PLA. Different brands call it different things.
And what's the benefit?
Much better impact resistance, better layer adhesion, less brittle. It can actually bend a bit before snapping. Think brackets, enclosures, maybe some simple gears.
So stronger and tougher, but still prints easily like PLA.
Pretty much, yeah. The main limitation is still temperature resistance. It'll soften up just like regular PLA if it gets too hot.
Okay. What if you need maximum stiffness? Like really rigid parts, minimal flex, maybe for a drone frame or a precise jig.
Then you're looking at carbon fiber, PLA, PLACF. The chopped carbon fibers mixed in make it incredibly stiff and stable for its weight.
But I sense another warning coming. Carbon fibers.
You got it. Those fibers are super abrasive, just like the glow pigment. So if you print PLA-CF, that hardened steel nozzle isn't optional. It's essential, again.
Mandatory nozzle upgrade. Good reminder. Okay, category three. Unique textures and weight. Getting into the composite style filaments.
Right. First one that comes to mind is wood PLA.
Does it actually contain wood?
Yep. Fine wood particles mixed with PLA. It can look, feel, and even smell a bit like wood.
But does it look like wood straight off the printer?
Not really. Yeah. It looks kind of like particle board, maybe. To get that realistic wood look, you have to do post-processing, sanding, staining, sealing. That's where the magic happens.
And the wood particles.
Abrasive. Hardened nozzle needed. Again, see a pattern.
Definitely seeing a pattern. Okay, wood PLA needs finishing and a hard nozzle. What about metal PLA? Does it print solid metal?
Huh. No, not quite. It contains very fine metal powders, bronze, copper, stainless steel sometimes. This makes it much heavier than regular PLA, gives it a unique feel.
Does it look metallic?
Again, not really right off the printer. It usually looks like a dull grayish or brownish plastic.
Yeah.
The entire effect comes from post-processing.
Ah, so like the wood PLA, the work comes after printing.
Even more so. Sanding, polishing, maybe using a patina solution. Okay. That's what brings out the metallic look and feel.
Yeah.
Without that effort, it's just heavy plastic.
Yeah.
Post-processing is everything for metal PLA.
And the metal powder.
You guessed it. Abrasive. Hardened steel nozzle. Mandatory.
Okay, it's interesting. The first two we talked about, glow and LW, needed slicer mastery. These last ones, CF, wood, metal, seem to be all about the nozzle and post-processing.
Which really brings us to maybe two big overarching truths that apply across this whole diverse PLA family.
All right, lay them on us. The universal truths of PLA.
Truth number one, and we've hammered this point home, but it's crucial. Abrasiveness.
If it's got solid bits in it?
Exactly. If your PLA filament contains solid particles, wood fibers, carbon fibers, metal powders, glow-in-the-dark pigments like strontium aluminate, it will chew through a standard brass nozzle. Period.
And the fix is simple.
Invest in a hardened steel nozzle. Or several. They're cheap compared to the frustration of failed prints and worn-out gear.
Okay. Truth one, particles mean hardened nozzle. What's truth two?
Truth number two is about ecology. A lot of people choose PLA because they hear biodegradable, right? They think it's the green choice.
Yeah, that's a big selling point. Plant-based, biodegradable.
But it's more complicated than that. That biodegradable label comes with a big asterisk.
How so?
PLA only really biodegrades effectively under specific conditions, the high heat and high moisture found in industrial composting facilities.
Okay, so not in my backyard compost bin or landfill.
Generally, no. Or at least extremely slowly, like decades or centuries slow, similar to other plastics in those environments. And most people just don't have access to industrial composting for their plastic waste.
So while it's made from renewable resources, which is good, just tossing your failed PLA prints in the regular bin doesn't really mean they'll break down quickly in an eco-friendly way.
Exactly. It's a conditional benefit. It depends heavily on having the right waste management infrastructure, which most places lack. It's not quite the simple ecoplastic people sometimes assume.
Wow. Okay, this has been quite the journey. We started thinking PLA was simple, but we've gone deep into abrasive glow pigments, temperature-controlled foaming.
And hopefully built a clear framework for choosing. Knowing whether you need silk PLA for shine, tough PLA for impact, or carbon fiber PLA for stiffness. And knowing about the nozzle implications.
Yeah, understanding those trade-offs is key. It's definitely not just one material.
Not at all. It's a constantly evolving family of polymers.
Which actually leads nicely into a final thought for everyone listening. You know, given how much PLA is changing, how much innovation is still happening,
yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't just think of your prints as finished objects. Think of them as experiments.
I like that. Keep exploring.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to grab a spool of something new or something weird. Test it out. Push the settings. See what happens. Dial in that flow rate for the LWPLA. Figure out the best polishing method for the metal filament.
And share what you learn. The community thrives on that shared knowledge.
Totally. That ongoing experimentation, that willingness to try things out, that's really how you unlock the full potential that's still kind of hidden inside this incredibly diverse, accessible filament family.
Well said. Keep printing. Keep experimenting.